Thelma Clark. Frank was a graduate of Brimfield and a postmaster for 38 and a half years in Brimfield. And Mrs. Clark taught home ec at the high school. Let's listen to see some of their stories that they have to say.
Well, I entered Brimfield High School in the fall of 1926 with 28 other students. And we had five teachers at the time. I don't know where to go from there. We had math, music, science, Latin, home economics, English, and dramatic and speech art. Also athletics, social sciences, and history. By the year 1930, when we graduated, the staff had increased to six teachers, having commercial teacher and girls athletics added in those 4 years. I don't just remember what year it was. Some of the highlights, quite different than what it is today. We didn't have a gymnasium. We had to play in the community building, which our plays, class plays, the junior and senior class plays, were at the community building. Our senior prom was at the community building, as well as the basketball games were played there. Some of the highlights of the basketball, which I was quite interested in, one year, 1927, we played in the district tournament at Farmington. We played Canton, who beat us, of course, but they played in the state tournament, and I believe they won it that year. At the half, Brimfield was ahead, 7-2, which is quite different than the scores of today. And in the third quarter, it was 9-8 with Canton in the lead, and it ended up 15-9. We got 1 point the last quarter. Another thing of interest was the roads at that time were very poor around here. We went to Elmwood to play basketball one night, and we had to go on the freight train from Brimfield to Elmwood. And we luckily beat Elmwood, and it made them mad. So they followed us out of town throwing brick bats at us. We walked home up the railroad track across the trestle, if any of you folks know where that is. And another time we went to Macomb to the tournament, and we had to take the train to Macomb. The roads were so bad. We won that tournament, luckily, and we took the train from Macomb to Yates City. It didn't come to Brimfield on a Sunday morning. And we walked from Yates City to Brimfield carrying our basketball equipment. Those are what they call the good old days. I wonder now if Velma would like to tell her school experience in Brimfield.
Well, I came in 1936. The high school was a brand new building, and I was a new teacher, beginning teacher. So I was really ecstatic to think that I was coming into a brand new building with a new department. Now, Frank said that they had had home ec here back in, when he was in school.
26 to 30.
Actually, they had only a class that they called sewing, and they didn't have home ec. So, the department was brand new. At that time, there were eight teachers, four of whom were new teachers. Two of us were beginning teachers. It's kind of interesting that the women teachers lived in what was called the teacherage. Now the teacherage was really quite a novel idea that Ethel Memwer had conceived. It was a house down by the post office.
Across
the Union Church, you know, just south. And she hired a woman, Mrs. McCoy, who was an excellent cook and housekeeper, and Mrs. McCoy came 5 days a week and did the meal preparation for us and all of the cleaning. Then on the weekends, we shifted for ourselves. Most of us, there were only three that year, the first year, and we stayed in town most of the time because we didn't have transportation. Well, one of the women did have a car. She had taught a long time, so she had a car. She was the only woman in all of the time I taught who did own an automobile, though. At that time, the teachers lived in town. Women teachers could not be married. So if you were thinking about getting married and you weren't ready financially to do it, you just postponed it until you did accumulate enough money. We went home on vacations, so that would be typically, what, four times a year. And I do remember there was a bus for a few years that ran to Peoria, and we could get to Peoria by way of bus. But, of course, people in the town were kind to us, too, and they would take us in their cars. So we did get out of town occasionally. And the community building was across the street from where the teacher's was, and so we did a lot of roller skating and dancing and things like that over there. Well, getting back to the school, it was a brand new building. There were, I think, about 96 students at the time I came. And as I said, 8 teachers. The salary will probably amaze you. It was a very good salary at the time. $1,050. $1,050.
That was a year.
That was for the year. And that was considered a very good salary at that time. I was delighted because in 1936, many of the graduates did not get jobs. And the times were really tough then, as they have been recently. So, I was very, very fortunate. There were 40 girls in the school who wanted to take foods classes. And 40 is a bit much for one room, you know. So we had 2 classes. There were 20 girls in each class. And of course that was a lot too, on lab days especially. So it took some maneuvering to get everything arranged so things went fairly smoothly. And can you imagine planning home ec classes where food is involved? Having dinners for the faculty, their wives or husbands, no husbands because women weren't married. The board members and their wives, and doing this without any refrigeration in the home ec department. We didn't have a refrigerator in the home ec department until after the 3rd year that I taught. It was near the end of the 3rd year when we got the refrigerator. Now you wonder, how in the world? Well, I bought frequently, of course, and only the amounts that would be needed, so it took a lot of planning. In the winter, it was cold in there. It was a brand new building, but I don't know what was wrong with the heating system, but the home ec room and the science room, which was above it, would sometimes get so cold that you couldn't even see the mercury in the thermometers. And so food kept pretty well in the west cupboard. It got cold too, you see. So that's where, that was our kind of makeshift refrigerator. Another interesting thing that I had no boys' classes at that time. But in 1939, the boys wanted something, so we organized a bachelor's club. And they named it themselves. There were 25 members. And I thought I might read to you the purpose as it was stated in the yearbook, because I'd forgotten what the purpose was. I know we had a good time. It says here, the purpose of the club was to give the fellows a chance to discuss and learn about such vital problems as correct dress, color and dress and clothing selection, social etiquette, dating, possible future vocation, and other such topics as that. I still meet some of these kids, I call them, but of course they're men, some of them grandfathers now, probably most of them grandfathers now, and they talk about this bachelor's club. It really did mean a great deal to them, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. In later years, I did have boys' classes, and they were quite enthusiastic. Sometimes they were a real challenge, but it was fun. They enjoyed it, especially on lab food labs day, lab days. And that always meant there was something to eat. They also, almost all of them, enjoyed making their own chef's aprons and the hats, you know, to make those big kooky ones. And they felt quite impressed to wear those around to me. It was, it was kind of difficult to get the students and the people in town to think of home ec in any other terms than sewing and cooking. And actually, home ec encompasses much, much more than that. But it took a long time to get that across. I don't know if I ever did succeed entirely. But gradually, other units were introduced into the curriculum, such as child care, home decorating, home finances, home nursing, even simple psychology were all added in as units into the different classes. These are all taught by one teacher. And the last few years that I taught, in my second career of teaching, I had two. I did have student teachers, and that was a big help. In addition to teaching classes, the teacher had study hall duties, class advisor. As a home ec teacher, I was almost always involved with the junior senior prom. At that time, the junior senior prom was a big event, and probably still is. They were almost always held in the gym, and the kids had a lot of fun, and the teachers too, decorating and, well, first of all, planning and transforming that into a different world. It really was quite impressive looking when they finished with all the good decorating. At that time, the teachers did their own typing. They ran off their help, study helps, their tests, everything on an old mimeograph, which I had to learn how to use because I'd never used one before. I learned to type. When I was in high school, I went to a school where they just did not have typing yet. Even in college, I either wrote or got somebody else to type my papers. And so I bought a typewriter and I taught myself to type. And I thought so I could do pretty well with it. The school spirit was really great. The teachers all lived in town. They weren't pals with the kids, but still there was a lot of good feeling between the students and the pupils. I taught 9 years and then I married. And I quit teaching for a few years. Then I went back to substitute teaching. And I did that for a few years before I went back full time. And I could notice several differences by the time I went back for the second term of teaching. The students were more independent than they had been previously. It seemed to be that many of them had less self-discipline than they had formerly had. Fortunately, there were more students who were cooperative and wanting to learn and eager to participate than of the other kind. But I thought the percentage had changed slightly in the length of time that I had been out. I don't think of anything else that would be of particular interest. I did mention, I think, that one of the things that I had noticed different from the first time I taught and now would be that men or women teachers could not be married if they taught here in Winfield. That the teachers, many teachers did not have cars, and that all teachers did live in town.
I forgot to mention about basketball games, about going to women's field for a game one night. It was so cold and the roads were so bad that we went in a stock truck. And we stood up in the stock truck to go to women's field and back on a cold night. Well, I mean, it was cold. And when we came home, there was a family, the Shane family, that had to walk home out the other side of Jubilee College after the ball game and after practice. Now they want to pick them up at the door. So change, times have changed just a little. And I didn't mention the fact that I think that we had between the 23 or 24 students who graduated. After we entered with 29, we lost a few. But it was one of the bigger classes of the high school at that time, of course. Now, changing the subject and going to the post office. I went into the post office as postmaster, acting postmaster, 1936, at a big salary of $1,300 a year, which was a good salary. Today, it's probably 20 times that. A postal card would cost a penny to mail. Today, it's 15 cents. And a letter, you could mail a sealed letter in town for a penny at that time. Now it's 25 cents. So times have changed just a little. And in this post office, all the equipment was owned by his postmaster. The government didn't furnish anything except the stamps that he bought. The flag, I had to buy the flag and the flag pole and the stove. They did furnish the coal. We had a coal stove and they did furnish the coal to heat the place. We had no toilet facilities, no running water. And the building was the east side of what is now the bank. It was a former jewelry store. And I was there for 12 years. And we had grown so much that we built a new building. Government rented it from George Tenner. Had it built just south of what Melvin was talking about, the teachers. It's a brick building. We still had no, we had running water, but we still had no toilet facilities. We had a privy out back. That was in 1948. And we stayed there, and I still owned the equipment, even the lock boxes I owned. I rented them to the people, and the government got the money. I even had to pay rent on the boxes I owned for my own personal use. And after 12 years, another one place 12 years, the other place 12 years, then we built 1960 what is the present post office. And that had all the plumbing conveniences of a modern home. When Congressman Michael here dedicated, he said when Frank Postmaster Clark wrote and said that the boys at Halloween were tipping the privy over every two or three nights, he said it was time to have a new post office with some inside plumbing. So in 1960 we got that. And we had two carriers at that time. I started out only one carrier. And we had two, and they still have two, two routes. And when they built this 1960 post office, they put all new equipment in, and they started furnishing everything. So I had to sell my old lock boxes and all the equipment that went with it. At that time in 1936, mail was received from the train. There used to be a depot up here. And we had a man that would go up there twice a day and get mail and bring it to the post office for us to sort. Then after that, they quit sending mail up on this train, and we picked it up at the depot in Oak Hill. And they would throw it off at 6 o'clock in the morning. And occasionally, the mail sacks would be sucked under the wheel of the train and cut the mail all out. So it wasn't a very convenient way to handle mail. Then, after that, they had what they called a highway post office. That was a big bus that had mail clerks that sorted mail on the go. It ran from Rock Island to Indianapolis, Indiana. Two came through at night and left mail in the lobby of the post office. And then in later years, I don't recall just what year it was, they put a Star Loop carrier, brought the mail from Florida twice a day, early in the morning. They bring it out and pick up what they had, and then at 5 o'clock closing time, they would pick it up and take it into Florida. And that, they're still using that mode of transportation for the mail at the present time. I don't know just what else. I retired there in 1974, which is 14 and a half years ago, about. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful life, retirement. And I miss the post office as well as missing school, and I think probably for the same reason. It's the people that you see every day. I used to like even see the young kids started out just walking, coming, trying to open the boxes, and see them grow up to graduate from high school and get married. And at 38 and a half years, there was a lot of changes in people, and it was a wonderful experience. I took the job because I didn't know what I wanted to do. I took it till I could find out, but I never really found out. I got hooked on the Postal Service and spent 38 and a half years.
Something about the town, I think we might mention it quite different. That street that goes, Galena Avenue, was, I'm sure, an inch or more deep with dust when I came here in the fall of 1936. I thought, this is the dustiest town I've ever seen. I came from a small town, too, now Zion down by Decatur, Illinois. We did not have paved roads, but we had oiled roads in our town. And this one was not oiled. It was dusty. And in the winter, it was muddy or icy. But now we have quite a good street, and I thought it's a little contrast. You might be interested in the dust that was really thick.
When I was in school, they had some classes in where Jerry Hammond's lived. That was the old Baptist church. And they had, I think it was sewing in that building, and I really had typing. I couldn't take typing because there wasn't enough periods in the day for taking, but the other things I was taking. And one thing, in my class, 1930, there were several in that class who were very much interested in mathematics. So the senior year, they put trigonometry in. I don't know whether they teach that now or not, but we had algebra, advanced algebra, geometry, solid geometry, and trigonometry. And it was the superintendent of school, Mr. Cobley, taught the math classes, and it was most interesting. I spent 12 years in that one brick building from grade school. In fact, I spent my whole life in the town of Brimfield. I live now within a half a block where I was born.
Is there anything else you would like to share? Or have you thought of everything that you'd like to share right now?
I don't think of anything unless you have questions.
I have no questions. I think you guys did a super job, and I'd like to thank you for that.